the 2019 Big Bright Minds Gathering in Durham, North Carolina, on basically the campus of Duke University.
That's right.
Feeling a little nervous because there's a lot of smart people around, including you, Virginia. And we have here in the studio lounge, Virginia Eubanks from the University of Albany. You are associate professor of political science there.
That's right.
Congratulations. And also an investigative journalist.
That's true. Wow. I live a weird combo life of half-time academic, half-time journalist. Confusing for everyone.
Every day must be an adventure for you, for sure.
Yeah, not often for the reasons that I'd like.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I like that. All right. Hey, you spoke this morning, and unfortunately, I was out here doing interviews, so I didn't get to see it, so I apologize. But what was the topic that you spoke on? And give us a quick overview.
Yeah. So I was invited here to talk about my most recent book, which is called Automating Inequality.
Right here. We have it.
High-tech tools right profile police and punish the poor.
Got it.
So my work in that area mostly has to do with new digital systems, algorithmic decision-making, machine learning, mm-hmm. artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff, in the public service system, so in social services, in welfare, in homeless services, in child protective services mm-hmm. in the United States. But I was sort of naughty, and I took the opportunity of only talking about the book for a couple of minutes and using it as a segue to talk about something that I think that is really should be on the radar of credit unions
yeah.
and is beginning to be there, which is sort of predatory digital debt collection. So my most recent work is a piece that I wrote for The Guardian in the middle of October that's about predatory government debt collection,
mm-hmm.
Which basically means that folks across the country are receiving letters that say, we accidentally overpaid you $2,500 in food stamps in 1988. And you have a couple of options. You can either pay us back 100% right now, you can set up a payment plan, you can prove to us that you don't owe the money,
okay.
which is of course impossible.
Right.
Or we're going to send this alleged debt to the Federal Treasury Offset Program, which can keep your federal tax refund or a percentage of your Social Security disability check or a percentage of your veterans benefits until the debt's paid off. And so there are a number of problems with this right away.
Yeah.
One of the really big problems is that by the time that these supposed alleged overpayments are identified, the time limit that you have to challenge a government debt has usually already closed. So usually you can only challenge a debt in a public agency like unemployment or welfare.
Is there like a statute of limitations type
for
of thing?
These are rules around what are known as fair
hearings. Or when they bring it to your attention? Right.
Right? So once they bring the supposed debt to your attention, you only have like 90 days to respond.
My gosh. What?
Or it becomes a confirmed debt.
Okay.
The problem is in the cases that I reported on in Illinois and Iowa, in Illinois specifically, that folks don't remember ever receiving a notice in the 80s. The state is saying, we have a copy of the notice in our computer system, so that proves that you got it. And
in the
people
80s,
are saying, that doesn't prove.
Didn't have a computer in the 80s.
Yeah, well, and they're saying that they mail the notices, but they're saying that these are folks who are poor working class families, they move a lot, they didn't necessarily ever get that notice.
Sure.
So they weren't able to challenge it at the time. So they're showing up to court now that, or trying to get into court now that 30 years have passed and the federal government is saying they're going to keep their tax refunds, walking into court to try to prove they don't owe this debt, and then judges are saying, oh, the 90-day limit on you being able to contest this has closed. Mm. So they really end up quite stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very, very different than the kinds of protections we have for private consumers, right? Private consumer debt.
Mm-hmm.
If for the folks who I talked to in this article, right, if they had bought a jet ski on a credit card, they would have way more protections than they have with this government debt, where both these digital systems can reach way back into the record and make assumptions that are sometimes incorrect.
Mm-hmm,
Like one of the cases I wrote about in Illinois is the case of Dreema Richardson, who got this notice that she owed a little bit more than $4,000 in food stamp and cash benefits from the 80s, from the late 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And they said the reason that she owed it was because her daughter, Star, had a part-time job at a Taco Bell, and her income had pushed the family over the eligibility limit.
Right.
The problem is that at the time she was working at the Taco Bell, she wasn't living at home. So she wasn't a member of the household.
Okay.
They said, prove it. She got an affidavit that mm-hmm. says that from the folks she was living with at the time, so she was living with us at the time. Mm-hmm. She went to court, she showed up. They were like, nope, you know, your 90 days has passed. So now,
oh, goodness, you don't even have a chance to.
Yeah, so there's some real issues around due process there.
Really?
And then the effects of this are huge, right? Losing a federal tax refund for a family, particularly for a poor and working class family, can be absolutely catastrophic.
Yeah.
It means not fixing the roof on the house. It means not fixing a car that gets mm-hmm. you to work.
Mm-hmm.
It means no investment in education. It can mean an eviction or a foreclosure.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have protections for debtors for private consumer
mm-hmm.
debt,
mm-hmm.
but those protections don't extend to this kind of government debt. And,
so,
and I think this is something that credit unions can do something about.
That was my next question, is like, what, if any, are there any answers?
Yeah.
And let's take it the next step. Can credit unions help out?
Yeah, so I thought about that a lot the last couple of days. So, since I knew I was going to go AWOL a little bit and not talk about what you guys hired me to talk about, I thought a lot about why I felt so... I felt like it was so important to talk about this debt, this predatory debt collection, in an audience of credit union professionals. And the reality is, I think that credit unions are in a really unique position as member organizations to recognize that their financial resources are not their only resources,
mm-hmm.
that their members are their resources,
mm-hmm.
And that probably already a huge percentage of their members are facing this kind of predatory debt collection, which is gonna really impact everything else in their lives, their ability to stay housed, their ability to protect their families, their ability to get medical coverage.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is really, really crucial life-altering stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I think credit unions are in a position to hold the line against this kind of predatory debt collection. And that's more, I think, than just like, it's a super low bar to say credit unions are great because they don't offer predatory products. Like, that's great, yay! And it actually is a really big deal.
Yeah.
But it is a really low bar. And I wonder if there's things that credit unions can do that are more than that. Than that low bar,
mm-hmm.
That are
mm-hmm.
like really activating members around these issues of
mm-hmm.
injustice,
mm-hmm.
That affect them directly, helping them understand that there are ways to fight even when it seems like there aren't.
Or even provide, I don't want to say, like, I don't know, small dollar loans or something like that to so they can fight this within the 90-day period or whatever, which seems way too short, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
well, it seems pretty unfair that you only get 90 days and the state gets 30 years.
Yeah,
that seems unfair to me.
A little skewed there.
Yeah, a little skewed. I mean, that's certainly been my experience. I'm a credit union member.
Yay!
State Employees Federal Credit Union, upstate New York, Seth.
Yeah.
It's a great credit union.
Know of them, yes.
I was thinking about this on my way here, and there's been a number of things that have really stood out to me about my experience with credit unions. So first, my beloved partner, Jason Martin, who's lived at or near the poverty line pretty much his whole adult life,
mm-hmm.
I recall very clearly a day where he went to the bank, suffered a lecture from a teller, a nonprofit bank, suffered a lecture from a teller about how banking is a privilege, not a right, and then had his account closed sort of against his will.
Oh my God.
So that stands out for me as something that credit unions are different.
Yeah, yeah.
Another is that my house flooded, our house flooded during Hurricane Irene, and the credit union that I'm a member of extended me a 0% loan just to help buy a furnace.
That's awesome.
'Cause we would have had no heat.
Right,
We had a little bit of help of FEMA, thank God, but it wasn't enough to get a new furnace after the flood. And then I think those are incredible incredibly, like, treating people with dignity and keeping emergencies from becoming life-altering catastrophes are really important things that credit unions do that is quite different from nonprofit banks. But I still think we can do more.
Oh, I agree.
I still think that as a member of a credit union who's now thinking differently about, like, my role in the organization, like, I'm starting to not think of myself so much as a customer as a member.
Are you on the board at your credit union?
I'm not, but now I think I should be. Yeah.
I think you should be, to bring this type of stuff to light.
Yeah, this conference really helped me think about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we can do more around this kind of financial predation. I mean, if not credit unions, who?
Right. But I mean, again, another opportunity for credit unions to step up and enhance their value.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Yeah. All right, last question for you, Virginia.
Sure.
Where can we find your book? Where can folks find it?
You can find it at your public library.
Hey!
And
I like that.
You can find it if you must shop online. You can find it at your local bookstore in your hometown.
Okay.
And if you can't find it there, they can order it.
Okay.
But if you must shop online, you can get it through a Books, which is a used books, like a collaboration of used bookstores, where you can avoid the capital A.
What's it called again? A Books?
Abe Books.
Oh,
like Abe Lincoln.
A-B-E. Okay. A-B-E. Mm-hmm.
Books. Or you can shop Powell's. .com.
Okay.
Or you can shop Powell's online. Powell's is a union shop.
Okay.
So,
right on.
Yeah. It's called Automating Inequality, How High-Tech Tools Profile Police and Punish
And where can we find out more information on you? Is there like a VirginiaEubanks.com?
Eubanks.com.
Oh, I knew it. All right.
All
good stuff. All right, Judy. Thank you so much, Virginia.
Thanks so much
good
for
stuff.
Having.